Life sure gets busy, doesn't it? Well, we understand. With all the certifications you have, finding the right kind of continuing education that fits your schedule can be a real challenge. That's where the FlightBridge Ed podcast subscription comes in. For less than $5 a month, the FlightBridge Ed podcast subscription gives you top-notch accredited CE while you listen. Visit FlightBridgeEd.com for more information or to sign up today. The FlightBridge Ed podcast subscription, another way we're being your partner in discovery.
The content of this podcast is based on medical fact and evidence-based practice from credible authoritative sources, but is not a substitute for your institution's policies, procedures, common sense, or good judgment. The views and opinions are those of Eric Bauer and FlightBridge Ed in their entirety. This is the FlightBridge Ed Podcast, critical care and emergency medicine education for nurses and paramedics. Here's your host, Eric Bauer.
Hey everybody, Eric back with you. Today's podcast is going to be a topic that I think is very important for us to review, and that is called combating atelectasis, and we're going to focus that on physiologic shunting. Before we get started, I just want to remind everybody that FAST 19 is approaching. FAST 19 will be May 6th, 7th, and 8th. The pre-conferences are filling up fast. We actually have sold out the Mechanical Ventilation Masterclass. We have the Intraglottica class that is getting quite full. We have our LVAD class that is also filling up, and then we obviously have our Hantevi instructor class that is filling up as well. If you're wanting something different, if you're wanting a conference that will make you laugh, will make you cry, that has everything that you would ever want, the best speakers in the industry, let alone the best speakers in the world in a lot of cases, we have brought in industry experts from paramedics, nurses, nurse practitioners, and physicians from around the world to talk. Everything is going to be in one general session area. You shouldn't miss this. I promise you, you will not be sorry. As I said, this podcast is going to be on that physiological shunting that we see in these patients. And so let's define what that means. We know that atelectasis is essentially a collapse of that alveoli. And our alveoli collapse for many reasons. If we're thinking about a patient we're taking care of, we know that alveoli collapse based on that high surface tension. And we're going to define surface tension. We're going to define the role of surfactant in lowering the surface tension. But these patients obviously have a problem. They either have a collapsed alveoli or they have an alveoli that's filled with infectious fluid. So let's get started and go through the whole aspect and kind of review. We know that if we're looking at a normal oxygen delivery, we know we have a normal oxygen delivery of around 550 to 600 mils of oxygen for every gram per deciliter of blood. When we look specifically at the consumption side, based on the size of person, our hemoglobin concentration, how much consumption the normal person has, we consume about 25% of that. And so based on that person, that could be anywhere from 150 to 250 mils of oxygen every single minute, based again on that gram per deciliter of blood. We know that when we look at an ABG, we have a P little a O2. Remember, anytime we have that little A in that abbreviation, that's going to be referring to the arterial side. And if we have a capital A, we're always referring to the alveolar. So when we say shunt, what does shunt mean? Well, shunt essentially is saying that we either have a problem getting gas down into the liquid surface, the capillary, to where we have oxygen that attaches to our hemoglobin via our red blood cell, or we can have a shunt that's related to perfusion. And if you've taken our review class, we talk about this and we specifically focus on a concept called venous admixture versus dead space ventilation. Venous admixture is essentially our inability of getting that oxygen molecule to where it needs to go. And then our dead space ventilation is going to be related to perfusion. So we know that we have to get the gas down into that solution. That's where we really focus on Henry's law, the solubility of a gas, the ability of that gas to dissolve in that liquid surface. And we have the perfusion side. And those two work interchangeably. They work together to give us our overall delivery every minute. And that is abbreviated as DO2. So what actually causes our alveoli to collapse? Well, one of the things we have to understand is when we look at an alveolar sac, we know that that alveolar sac is lined with an endothelial tissue or cells, and we call that an endothelial glycocalyx. There's these little hair-like projections that protrude from that endothelial layer. But inside that alveoli, there's a thin layer of fluid. And that thin layer of fluid is made up of water. Now, if we look at water in general, water has what we call a very high surface tension. And so we're going to discuss surface tension, but essentially, if we start adding more fluid, more infectious fluid to that overall alveoli, it raises the surface tension even higher, and it actually will dilute the level of surfactant to water. We need surfactant, and again, we're going to go through the reason why we need surfactant, but we need surfactant to lower that overall surface tension. And what that ultimately does is not allow our alveoli to collapse inward during exhalation. So if we end up having more fluid and less surfactant, our surface tension actually gets higher, and we will have actual collapse of those alveoli. And the alveoli that tend to collapse more often than other alveoli are the smaller alveoli. We have alveoli that are larger, and we have alveolar sacs that are smaller. The smaller alveolar sacs end up collapsing. So where does surfactant come from? Surfactant essentially is secreted by what's called type 2 pneumocytes. And so these are epithelial cells. We have type 1 and we have type 2. But those type 2 cells actually secrete that surfactant. And the whole purpose of surfactant is to lower that surface tension. And that surface tension is essentially when that air hits that liquid surface, that is where that surfactant really plays a role in lowering that surface tension. Why does water actually have a very high surface tension? I wish I was able to draw this out for you, but essentially I want you to imagine and try to visualize. If we take an oxygen molecule and we actually add two hydrogens to that, that's what makes up water. And so each one of these oxygen, and we have two hydrogens actually bound to that oxygen. Imagine us having multiple little molecular bonds like that, and they're all actually kind of attracted to each other. Well, if we were to specifically look at, and imagine I take a bowl and I add water to that. Imagine that oxygen with two bound hydrogen lining the layer, the top layer of that water. Well, everything underneath the water, imagine you have all those hydrogens, and we have hydrogens, and we have basically, in the simplest form, we have positive and negative charges that are essentially pulling all directions. And so all of those bound oxygen with hydrogen bonds are pulling towards each other. And so imagine we have all of those oxygen bonds being pulled downward. So those bonds in general are farther apart. And they're farther apart because of those hydrogen bonds pulling against each other. But when you look specifically at the surface of the water, because the oxygen is actually at the level of the surface, there's no hydrogen bonds above that. And so at the surface of the water, because there's not as many hydrogen bonds above, you can actually have more oxygen molecules closer together. That causes a higher surface tension at the surface of the water than there is below the water. So we can easily mimic this. If you have ever imagined or ever done this, if you slowly add water to a cup, you can actually slowly, continually add water to where we get right to the top, and you can add a little bit more as long as you do it very slowly. And you'll actually have a kind of a ballooning of that water on that top surface. Now, obviously, if we continue to add water, we're going to see that overflow, but essentially you have that ballooning of that water, and that is because at the surface, that tension is very high. We can also simulate this if we, let's say, lay a paperclip on the top of that surface. That paperclip is going to float and actually sit on that top layer. Imagine it as a pillow. Well, essentially what happens is if we have a whole bunch of water inside that alveoli, and we have all those oxygens, and we have the hydrogens, remember two hydrogens bound to that oxygen, imagine we have a circle, and we have this thin layer of water that lines that inner wall of that alveoli. All those bonds, as I said, all those hydrogen bonds are pulling inward. And so that makes essentially that alveoli have a very, very high surface tension, and it's going to pull inward. All those bonds are pulling that inward towards each other. When we exhale, if we did not have surfactant, we would have collapse of those alveoli. So we could actually simulate this by adding water to a bowl. We could use a surfactant and actually put surfactant in that water. If we tried to float that paperclip on there, essentially the paperclip would immediately sink. So what surfactant does is surfactant actually lowers the surface tension. It doesn't allow, it spreads out that water to where it's not as heavy, it's not as powerful. It doesn't allow those hydrogen bonds to pull against each other and cause collapse. So as you can see, surfactant is very, very important. Now, what is surfactant made of? Surfactant is made up of phospholipids, so made from specifically fats or lipids and proteins. So now, how can we make all this kind of come together and make sense? Well, when we look specifically at us taking a breath in, we actually have all of our little airways, we have our alveoli, and we have alveoli that are, some of them are small and some of them are large. And if we were to look at the large alveoli, those large alveoli are actually under a lower pressure in comparison to those small alveoli. The small alveoli are actually under a very high pressure. Well, if you think about just standard, flow, what's going to happen is when we take that breath in and those oxygen molecules are traveling down those little airways, they're actually going to go towards the low pressure areas. So the larger alveoli are under lower pressure, they're going to get inflated first, actually to the point where it can actually pull volume from the smaller alveoli, and that's where we see those small alveoli collapse. Now, we see this in a disease process called hyaline membrane disease. When you look at these neonates that are born, again, surfactant production does not start or doesn't become prominent until that baby is 37 weeks. That's why if we ever do a transfer or we are in a, a preterm labor situation and that mom is less than 37 weeks, we always see betamethasone that started, and that's actually what's triggering the stimulation from those type 2 pneumocytes early. And so we want to have surfactant. Well, because those little itty alveoli are more susceptible to collapse because of the high pressure, we see those little babies have alveolar collapse globally, and that's what ends up causing that massive shunt on a kind of global basis. So how does surfactant help in that situation? Well, essentially, if we have a small alveoli and now we add surfactant to that alveoli, it's lowering the surface tension. Because small alveoli are under high pressure, that means they're under high surface tension. And so if we add surfactant, and we have surfactant that is globally distributed, obviously released from those type 2 pneumocytes, you actually have a low pressure in those small alveoli, and it's distributed out, and it's equal between the small alveoli and large alveoli. So this simply aids in a reduction in overall atelectic trauma secondary to that high surface tension. So as you can see, surfactant is a very, very huge, huge part of how we maintain alveolar patency. Without it, we would have a global problem. That's where when we start getting sick, we start seeing patients with fluid leak, where we start having what's called an endothelial glycocalyx breakdown. You start seeing those little hair-like projections and we start seeing capillary leakage. That is going to be more water, more surface tension, and we're going to have alveolar trauma and collapse from that. So I wanted to just introduce this and I wanted to get us in the right mindset, because our next podcast, what we're going to do is we're going to actually review a really good article. I'm not going to talk about it right now, but essentially this article is going to go into, are we actually setting our patients up correctly in that peri-intubation phase? We've really focused in the last few years on the whole passive oxygenation, using a nasal cannula, a non-rebreather, really trying to limit our bag valve mask ventilations in these patients. But there's more and more evidence and literature saying that maybe that wasn't the best approach. So we're going to highlight that. We're going to talk about a recent study. We're going to review a great article that was written, and talk about maybe we should go about setting our patients up in that peri-intubation phase because they have this physiologic shunt that's going on. If we have maybe a quarter to half of those alveoli that are collapsed, that are atelectic, then how are we going to ventilate these patients or actually have a proper gas exchange in that peri-intubation phase if we're not recruiting those collapsed alveoli? And so it really, I think, opened my eyes up to that we can't just stay focused on past medicine, even though we really just recently changed our approach. We tried to limit BVM ventilations. Maybe that wasn't the right approach. And so we're going to review that on part two of this. Again, if you have any questions, if you have any ideas, if there's anything that I talk about in these podcasts that you want more information on, feel free to email me at eric.bauer@flatbridgehead.com. I will try to answer those questions. If I don't have the answer, I will definitely find something that will help me, or we will find the answer together. Until next time, I will talk to you soon.
This has been a production of the Flight Bridge Ed Podcast, leading the way in pre-hospital critical care and emergency medicine education.